can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 380. I'm Lisa Sheps, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely two co-hosts, Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo, the Nick Squareds. You're listening to us on KOOP.org. No, you're listening to us at 91.7, KOOP, Hornsby, Austin. Remember, folks, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. Please don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
You are the show, send a flower.
It is Wednesday, September 28th. 2016. On the show today, we have our good friends, the Stage Presence Players, coming on to talk about their show, Play On. And later on the show, we're going to have an interview with the cast of Broadway Across America's brilliant series of shows. This one is Newsies. And again, I don't know what I'm saying. Of course, you know, we're going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, in New York, in Chicago, in Zimbabwe, as well as Canada, the whole country. Okay. Wait, it's not going away.
Just push a button.
I have no idea what's going on today.
I don't know that song, Lisa. What is that? What is that song?
That is actually from a musical called Waka.
Waka.
It is the first Nigerian music. Oh, you're nodding. You know this?
I know about it.
Wow. First Nigerian musical. It's playing in the UK right now.
It's amazing.
Or it just closed in the UK. And the music is fun.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it.
I know. And I looked up and, of course, I forgot. I did look up what the plot was, but I forgot. So, because I suck.
Well, there's a narrative, though.
And that's what that is, too. So let's check in with the Knicks. Nick Mayo, how are you?
I am doing so well. This change in the weather has made me happy and spry.
You're in Austin in the good section now.
I get to pull out winter-ish jacket or fall-like jackets.
Yeah. There's no such thing as winter. My wool coats are like sitting in a closet, and that's where they will stay. Until I move to New York, or go to New York.
Okay, y'all, we get cold here. There's days where it's below 30s and you have to put one of those jackets on.
Days. Is exactly what it is.
One day.
It's more than one.
Okay, it's two.
It is.
Don't defend the weather in this town.
Mm-mm. I'm not defending it. I'm just, y'all are acting like it never happened.
So, Nicole, how are you? I'm checking in with you.
I'm good.
Okay, well, the reason why I played that song was, you know, the listeners to the show know. Oh, well, before I do that, let me introduce the folks that are here with us in the studio. Christy Kreitler.
Hello.
Hello. We have Bree Harner.
Hi.
Chelsea Wallace.
Hi.
And Leslie Morris.
Guys.
Welcome, you guys. So the reason why I play that, so a lot of times I'll go in, I'll put a word that I want to talk about, and then I put original cast, and I search something, and that's how I find music. But what I was thinking about the debates that we're on and the current political climate, and I typed in runaway.
I was just about to say, did you type in runaway? Because that's hilarious.
I typed in runaway, and that's the name of that song, is Runaway. So,
wait, okay. However you get to new musicals, you find them.
But and I was just so thrilled and pleased. I did look, when I was looking later, I was just trying to find something to play at the end of the show, and I was trying to find a random show tune generator, but they don't exist. Really.
Well, I think we need to make one.
We do
because I actually trying to search for certain songs, and you've taught me that little keyword search.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work.
And
then I'm trying to Google, and I'm like, really? I can Google anything, but I can't Google tell me the specific Broadway song about blah, blah, blah. So
maybe Google, we need to get to on it. This song.
Christy, you need to speak into the microphone when you speak. See, that's the thing about radio. we need to be able to hear you. And actually, you can pull those microphones closer to you so you don't have to lean into them. We show how the sausage is made here on Offstage and on the Air.
Yes, we do.
We don't have an engineer to talk to you off mic. So did everybody watch the... we'll just talk a little bit about Monday night and the debates because I thought it was very theatrical. Did anybody watch it?
Yes, definitely.
Did everybody watch it? Nick?
It did start to finish with Chinese food. It was amazing.
Oh, you watched start to finish the whole thing?
Chinese
you
know food. Oh, and whole hours of commentary caboodle. Afterwards.
I did as well. Oh, but did you watch the commentary? So I was on MSNBC prior, which was very interesting because you saw a little bit of how the sausage was made there mm-hmm. too. With so it was, I.
Yeah, but you liked the one thing that was afterwards. You were talking to me about it.
What was the one thing that was with afterwards?
Jon Stewart. You really appreciated.
Oh, right. What I did notice. So those of you that it's not Jon Stewart anymore. It's Trevor Noah.
Sorry.
Those of you that watched, did y'all watch The Daily Show on Monday?
Yes, definitely.
They did a live version. Which they rarely do. And when Jon Stewart did it, it was always sort of, you know, not all that good because it was live. They didn't have time to prepare. This time they had a half hour to put the show together and they did a really good job.
I love that.
Lisa
I love
was
that.
Really they did a great job.
I love that they did that. That's a good choice.
Yeah, and I'm becoming fonder and fonder of Trevor Noah. Yes, Christy.
I wish we could put our show together in 30 minutes.
Well, but there's no reason, you know, there are companies that do that. As a matter of fact, we had one at Ground Floor Theater. Nick, have you ever, Nicole, I think you were around. It was a Shakespeare company that they get some scripts out.
And then they
come and they show up and they perform it. And everybody memorizes their part.
And then just shows up.
I love that.
They spend about a half hour together beforehand and go. I think it's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they did that. They did that at Ground Floor. So let's see what we got here. All the ways to say I love you. That's it's starting. Je t'aime. All the ways to say je t'aime.
Amour.
It is
amour.
In all the different languages. It is. I should have talked about that. We'll talk about that next. It is. Going into previews tonight.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to open at the... and it is the one-woman show. I'm trying to remember what it is off the top of my head. If anybody can help me, go for it.
Well, while you're looking for that, do you mind if I talk about Kevin Klein?
Well, he's on my list.
Oh, he's on your list.
Yes. Yes, he's on the list. I didn't do it. So you know what? Your job, audience, is to Google the show. It's a one-woman show. It's... Oh, God, what's her name?
Oh, is it, excuse me, sorry, Judith Light.
Judith Light, yes.
Oh, my goodness, sorry, Brain Dead Wednesday.
This was the off-Broadway show that we were like, oh, my
sorry.
It's at the Lucia Lortel. Lucia Lortel. Tonight.
I believe, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Way to go. Go.
And I took notes and everything, and they're gone. I didn't prepare, so.
Any opportunity to see Judith Light on stage.
Oh, there it is. It's a huge picture of Judith Light right
here. She is epic on stage. She really, really, really is.
She really is. And so it's, we will talk about this later after it opens, but it's going into previews tonight. And it is the Lucia Lortel. This is an MCC show.
Awesome.
So.
Good choice.
Voila. So
she's
I have
awesome
played the Lucia Lortel.
Do you watch Transparent?
Back when it was Theater Deleuze. I do watch Transparent.
She's on that. She's
she
awesome.
Is on that.
She's wonderful on that.
Although Transparent is sort of hard to watch in that all those characters are so hateful.
So unlikable.
Unlikeable. And Moira was in season one was likable, but she became unlikable in season two.
I know.
Two.
I wish
it's like, really? Couldn't you kept one person that I like?
Are they all transparent?
Are they all trans? No, it's about a woman who transitions from male to female and her family.
And her family.
And it's based on a true story. And to see what's her name on the Emmys was just really wonderful.
Winning the award.
What's her name?
She created it.
And she wrote it.
Anyway. And she had a great pantsuit on.
She had a great
pantsuit. Hillary Clinton.
It was a little too powerful and patterned for Hillary.
Before we talk about Kevin Klein, he's definitely on my list. I did want to talk about, there was a lovely article in the New York Times called A Playtime to Trump's Candidacy. It's called Asks What If. And I read this article, and it started out talking about a show that's done at Berklee Repertory Theater called It Can't Happen Here, which is a show that they thought that they were going to create, but it actually is based on Lisa. They Googled It Can't Happen Here, and they found that it was the title of somebody's. It Can't Happen Here, Sinclair Lewis novel that surprisingly had all the same. It was about a very similar situation to what we have here with regards to. But we do have a word in this one. which I thought was interesting.
You haven't whipped out one of these.
It's very easy to get in context, but I had never heard it before. So we talk about the words that critics use that you need a dictionary to find out. So I'm going to say the sentence, and y'all tell me what the word means in context. And it's actually the very first sentence of the review written by Michael Paulson in the New York Times. A vain politician runs for the presidency. Short on specifics, but long on bluster. Inveighing against a religious minority and promising to make America prosperous again. Inveighing.
Are you going to play the computer saying inveighing?
No, I'm not, because it's pretty easy to...
How do you spell it?
E-N-V-E-I-N-V-E-I-G-H-I-N-G.
Kind of sound like the way you would think you'd spell it.
Can you repeat the sentence?
You know what? I'm just going to tell you what it means. And of course, it means... Oh my God, it stopped. I lost my thing.
I want to say that it's something that has to do with enviance.
It's actually speaking out against in writing.
Yeah.
Okay. Writing against.
Yeah. To protest strongly or attack vehemently with words. Ooh. And it's usually followed with against.
Speak or write about something with great hostility.
Which we all do.
I am a very hostile person.
Yeah, well, you know, we're just all inveighing over here.
So this went on to talk about all the different shows that are sort of capitalizing on, not necessarily capitalizing, that's not the right word, but talking in politics in this season. And they have a whole list of parallels to today's election climate. One is called 45 Plays for 45 Presidents, which I think is very interesting.
I was about to say, this sounds interesting.
It's at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Mass. It's a 2-minute plays, one for every president, followed by an audience vote on whether they'd like to see another 2 minutes about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Good.
Oh, I like that.
It Can't Happen Here is the one that I just talked about, the Sinclair Lewis sort of remake. Let Trump Be Trump in Davenport Theater. 5 one-night play readings at Arena Stage, just about different selections. The Trump Card, this is the Mike Daisy show which just opened.
Yeah, and actually we talked about this like 2 weeks ago and you weren't here. He made his script available for download for free.
Right, and it's being done all over the country because of that. Vicuña, a new satirical play by John Robin Baitz at the Center Theater Group in Los Angeles about a tailor whose clients include a real estate tycoon and the star of a reality television show who becomes a nominee for president.
It's like Omnium Gatherum, but at a clothing store.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't. I wish they had put in, what's the Barbara Chisholm show that just happened?
Totalitarians.
Totalitarians,
yes. Thank you.
We
are all a hot mess with pronunciation today. Yeah.
So there was a whole bunch of those. There's a link to that on our site. So Kevin Kline. He's present laughter.
You know, that's my favorite Noel Coward piece, by the way.
Present laughter.
And I worked on that show in a production of it with Barbara Chisholm.
You just saw Barbara Chisholm. How funny is that?
And Jamie just saw Barbara Chisholm on television.
What were you watching?
I do too. I was watching American Crime.
I like her a lot.
It's directed by Moritz von Stupenagel, who I can't pronounce his name, but he's
Moritz,
the same guy that
your name is rocking.
He did.
Except
hand...
for an elementary school.
Yeah,
that's true.
He would be at the end of the line.
He did Hand to God. So, what did you read? Michael Riedel's?
No, I didn't. Did he say something nasty?
Did.
What did he say?
He said that Kevin Kline's name is really Kevin D. Kline.
Oh!
Because he's rare to perform on Broadway anymore.
Well, I think that he's earned the right.
I'm on your side.
There's a power in a no. That's the only power that an actor has, is the ability to say no.
But it's something interesting. So he's playing at the St. James, which is after Something Rotten closes and before Frozen opens.
Isn't that a weird choice in between?
Well, because they have
that. Well, two Jamsons are smart.
Power. Well, and they're also renovating the theater for Frozen. They're adding a whole upstage, like zillions of feet upstage.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be really Frozen?
I doubt it's actually going to be Frozen, but it's going to be a set that's going to probably look Frozen. That's going to be my guess.
Well, I'm excited to see this. I love watching him on stage. I think he's...
Have you seen him?
I have.
What'd you see him in?
Well, my fourth year at school, there was the centennial celebration. So I actually got to perform Shakespeare with him.
With him?
With him.
Were you able to actually do scenes with him against him?
We did.
So, what'd you do? Tell us.
We did. It was just... we did
Were
Midsommar.
You Othello to his Iago?
No.
Were you?
I was Juliet to his Romeo. No.
That's not a bad thing either, though.
It was, you know,
I would do that.
It was a big old ceremony to celebrate 100 years, and all the stars came
back.
What
school?
Juilliard.
Juilliard, I've heard of that place.
So we actually did a little bit of Demetrius and Lysander.
Oh.
So it was like current fourth year pair up with this here famous alum.
Lovely.
So yeah, he's a dream.
He was your partner in crime.
He was my partner in
crime. He's my favorite. I saw him in the park doing Henry V.
Oh, nice. Oh.
Amazing.
He is amazing.
My love affair with that show started there because it's, and I think Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio played. Whatever her name is.
I just love hearing her name. It makes me laugh.
Yeah, she's
everyone says it so fast, and it's just a funny name. It makes me happy.
Well, and I worked with her. She's in a show that I did, and she's very, very sweet. And a lot of people don't know that girl has pipes.
Oh,
she
knows.
Yes. She can
sing. Sings amazing. One day I'll bring the soundtrack in, and you can...
I feel like she sang in something. There's been one thing she sang in, like a movie or something, and it wasn't like a number. Like, you heard her just singing, and you were like, Wait, that lady can sing. Like, oh, my brother will remind me of what it was.
So those of us that have lived in New York, and Nick, when did you move to New York? When
were 2000.
Okay, so you may have missed the heyday of this, but second acting.
Oh, no, I didn't miss. I didn't miss that.
The heyday was in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, yes, second acting.
It's much harder to do.
You had cracked out peace eyes. I haven't seen
those. So tell people what second acting is.
Second acting is a wonderful thing for students, people who can't afford Broadway prices. What you would do is you would go out and stand in front of a theater around intermission and look like you had just seen the first act and sneak in for the second.
If you're smart, you'll get a playbill.
You get a playbill from someone who dropped it in the trash can or on the floor.
And walk right in.
And find a seat or stand in the back and watch the second act of a play or musical. I have seen the second act of so many things
shows, yeah.
And wondered what the heck they were talking about.
That is the most amazing thing I think I have ever heard.
It's not so easy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an article in the Times talking about it.
I read that.
And
how? What are they doing?
Had you ever get caught?
No, never got caught.
I got caught.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I got caught. Yeah.
Never got caught. I didn't do it too much. Maybe I did it like half a dozen times, but I was successful.
I have always paid for my ticket and gone to the whole show.
Well, some of us were poor starving actors.
I was a poor starving actor. I bought a lot on the TKTS at the last minute.
Oh,
but,
I think a lot of things changed. Those little machines that go...
Well, now that a lot of times they're making you show your ticket when you come back in.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I was at Bass Concert Hall last night.
How did the ticket things go again? Okay, just want to make sure.
I wish you had the visual for it too, though, because there was whole action and choreography that went along with the sound.
Well, it's just a.
And see the choreography.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's good. That's exactly what they do.
you have to show it coming back in, but they won't let you out of Bass Concert Hall. I was there last night seeing...
They won't let you out?
The wonderful newsies. And I said, I'm just going to step out and make a quick phone call. And they said, we're not allowed to let people exit the theater and come back in as a new... I said, ooh, I want to...
What if you were a smoker?
You can't smoke on campus, so that doesn't work.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
So anyway,
that's interesting.
I'm going to look into. She said
that is so. How
I'm going? I'm going there tonight, so I'll try.
Well, don't try
it.
Don't try it.
But here's the thing: how are they stopping people in New York? Are they just not letting them out?
No, you have to show your ticket coming back in.
You have to show your ticket coming back in now.
Yeah.
Oh man, I don't. And you have to go through and leave it at my seat or something.
Metal detectors now.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Anyway,
I guess I'm used to it from football and sports events and stuff, so it doesn't bother me.
Hamilton started previews last night in Chicago. With Karen Olivo.
You would have thought Rob Lowe was here today. It's like screaming women.
And Joshua Henry. And but here's a little piece of, and I learned it from this Hamilton article. I'm going to have a quiz for everybody here.
Okay, I'm ready.
How many, West Side Story opened in the late 50s, early 60s. How many acting Tonys throughout its history? There's been like four or five revivals. How many acting Tonys have been won?
acting, not music. Acting, or not or music. Anything?
Acting. I don't how think many actors have won? Won.
You said no, no, no. That's not true. The revival, Home Chick, didn't she win for the revival?
Karen Olivo.
So
you're saying
won.
Karen Home Olivo. Chick, Karen Olivo. Any?
I'm just saying the winner.
I'm going to go with one.
Larry
two,
Kurt
tops.
Didn't win?
Eight. I want to say three.
Larry Kurt did not win a Tony. You're going to say three.
Eight.
Okay, homegirl's right. Y'all are right. Karen Olivo is the only
one.
She just won, and she had on that beautiful lavender dress when she won it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amazing. I was so surprised to read that. Like, yeah. I had to go back and look. I had to go. I went into IBDB and like looked, and it's true. They won no acting
award. Well, this is the crazy thing I told Lisa. I heard in the this morning, Lin-Manuel Miranda hit 100 million Twitter followers. The first person
he caught
to
up
ever
to me, finally.
Do so. Well, no, what's weird is that Ashton Kutcher has been the number one man on Twitter forever, not knowing what he's doing, but Lin-Manuel Miranda took over 100 million Twitter followers, man. First person.
Wow.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, that's because he sends us such sweet messages every morning.
Exactly.
He does?
He does.
Oh, I'm not a Twitterer.
I don't follow him
I'm not
on
a Twitterer.
So.
Then how are you the number one?
Because we're just number one.
Yeah, we are just number one. Yep.
We are just those people.
And so that's cool. I'd have like four Twitter followers.
That's not true.
Nicole, you're a tweeter.
I've got a whopping 22.
Yeah, I don't follow Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. Zero.
It's okay, guys. I think I have like seven.
Yeah, I have a few, but... Yeah.
Theater folks don't get a lot of Twitter followers. It's all right.
So the other thing I want to talk about, who likes cooking shows?
Oh, I do.
Anybody like Alton Brown?
Yes, he's hilarious.
Love
he's
with
diabolical
Alton Brown.
And maniacal. And
Nick, are you familiar with Alton Brown?
Not at all.
He is.
If you saw his picture, you'd probably know him.
He's in. He's out of Atlanta. He does a show. He started a show called Good Eats, and he's really a performer turned cook, if you will. And he does a very entertaining show. He also is the host of Cutthroat Kitchen right now.
And he did Cutthroat Camp.
Cutthroat, yes. I was like, he did the junior version and something else too this summer, too, some other shows.
So,
what's he up to?
Well, I was interested to see when I one of my bookmarks is the New York Times theater section, and his name came up. The headline was Alton Brown, showman of a food TV, pulls back the curtain. And I'm going, well, why is he in the live theater thing? It turns out he does a live variety theater act around
that.
The country. Mm-hmm. And he is opening on Broadway at the Barrymore Theater in November. And I think that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Very
cool.
That's really awesome.
I love him.
Well, this article gets into his personal life. He's evidently had a troubled personal life.
Mm-hmm.
I broke my heart. I'll show my political stripes here a little bit. He's not nearly as progressive-minded as I thought he would be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
He voted for a political party that I don't necessarily agree with all the time.
The Independents.
The Independents, that's the one. Damn you, Ross Perot.
No one gets under my skin like Ross.
You know Ross is still campaigning, right?
No, I didn't. Is he?
No.
Oh.
He probably is in his home.
I did not know. Well, so folks should go and maybe take a look at this article. It's a link on our site about it. It's really interesting. I think it's great. It talks about his personal life, his view on theater. He's really brilliant person. He capitalized on cooking shows when he saw those started to go on. He went to cooking school for 2 years. He's not a chef. He's more of a host, and he doesn't pretend to be a chef.
Well,
it's very interesting.
Thinking about like the old school Julia Childs and her performance aspect.
Yes.
To
marrying the child. Marrying the child.
But I love that. I love that the culinary arts and the performing arts can be married together. And what a, like,
absolutely.
I love that.
And that's what
the show 10 years ago where they cooked on stage, and it was like full cooking. You and I would talk about it. Emerald?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It's not Emerald. Okay. It was an actual play.
Oh, right. It wasn't 10 years ago.
It was like
it was
6
not
years
all that
ago.
Long
no, because I was doing this with you. It was an actual play.
Yeah,
they
I remember.
Cooked.
Yep, they'd cook stuff.
The entire thing. Not
right
like
now,
waitress,
it's currently called Waitress.
Yeah, but it's not Waitress like maybe we'll bake a pie. Like, it was full-on kitchen on set
right.
cooking.
Well, we're running a little late, so we have to do the theater quiz.
All right.
Okay.
What'd you get
so,
on it?
Again, I got 4 out of 5.
Okay.
And here's the sad part. It's the one of them
questions.
Is a question we've had just recently, okay. And I made the same mistake. The same exact
Just
mistake.
Just tell them
y'all
to change
laugh.
The answer.
Okay, so here we go. Y'all ready? Who in 1969 was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature? Was it J.B. Priestley, Harold Pinter, or Samuel Beckett?
Pinter.
Yeah, all of you are wrong. It's Samuel Beckett.
It was Beckett.
This should be an easy one. Actually, I'm going to give it to you without without choices to see how you do. Where was Neil Simon born? What city?
Yonkers.
Very close. Oh, I mean, yes. Did New York.
Really? Yonkers. Who just New York said who's Neil Simon? For. You just what? Said who's Neil the Simon?
Oh, okay. Banished.
That's your homework is to look up
no,
Neil
No, we
Simon.
Don't admonish. You're not banished. You just okay. must read.
Playwright Eugene O'Neill's middle name was Gabriel, Benjamin, or Gladstone? Eugene O'Neill.
Gabriel.
Okay, Gladstone.
No, I was supposed to say Gladstone. Really? Yeah.
Okay. How old was William Shakespeare when he married Anne Hathaway? And ooh. Nick, you remember this.
I was there. I was
18, 28, or 38. And Anne Hathaway is actually who he married. But not the current Anne Hathaway because there's a little bit of difference in age.
18, 28, or 38?
19? Yep.
38.
38. 18.
I think he was close to 28 when he died, wasn't he?
Yeah, 18.
Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, Stanley lodges in a seaside boarding house owned by Meg and Peter Bowles. One day, his peaceful existence is threatened by the arrival of a mysterious stranger named the Harold Pinter play.
The
we did
party.
This 3 weeks ago. Yes, thank
the
you.
The birthday party.
I again said
it's
the
always
homecoming.
The birthday party, though. You should have figured that one out if it's a Pinter.
Okay, we're going to take a little break and come back. And I played the song I'm playing is a little bit from On the 20th Century, which is one of the musicals that Mr. Kevin Kline
I love
was
this show.
In. So here we go, On the 20th Century.
She runs the show.
She runs the show.
She leads the band.
She leads
okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps, Nicole Shiro, and Nick Mayo. We are here talking to the cast and creators, or yeah, the creative team of Play On. We have Christy Treitler.
Hello.
And Christy, you're playing, you play in the role. You're the artistic director of Stage Presence Players. Mm-hmm. And are you also the director of the piece?
I am not. I get to sit out on this.
Oh, lovely.
This time.
Okay.
Jonathan Spear is our director.
Tell us who you play.
I play Louise, and she is, this is a play within a play.
Mm-hmm.
And she is the sound tech that doesn't give a darn about what these actors are doing. She's just there to have fun.
That's the way I do things.
Mm-hmm.
Bree Harner.
Hi.
Hi. And I'm not going to call you out by name for not knowing who Neil Simon was.
Okay,
but Bree
well,
Harner was the one
I
that did not
it up,
know.
And I know who he is now. No worries.
Excellent. We're not worried. Tell us who you play in the show.
I play Marla, also known as Smitty, but since it is a play within a play, I actually play Dolores the Maid.
Dolores the Maid. And Bree, since I gave you a hard time, I'm going to give you the honor of choosing a number between 2 and 54.
2 and 54? Mm-hmm. 26.
26, great. Okay. Leslie Morris,
hi.
Who do you play?
I play Jerry. She's the stage manager.
She's the director.
She's the director, I'm sorry. She is basically trying to keep everything together. Not only is it a play within a play, but the playwright is constantly throwing a wrench into the works. So Jerry is just trying to get this show on stage.
Excellent. And finally, last but not least, Chelsea Wallace. What do you play?
I play Diana Lassiter or Violet.
Or Violet, not
well,
Anne?
And Violet.
Oh, okay. Well,
also,
so today I'm going to play Violet. Tomorrow, who knows?
Who knows?
So, Christy, tell us what the show's about.
Basically, this is a show. It's a play within a play. It's a play about a community theater trying to put on a new play, and the playwright, Phyllis Montague.
It's always a Montague, isn't it?
Isn't
it's
it?
Never
it's
a Capulet.
Always never. Always. She keeps coming up with last-minute characters 3 days before opening, 5 more pages. She doesn't understand, and all of the actors are having to relearn it, and it's a British play, so part of it is British accent and part of it's not.
Right.
And then
the play is British?
Yes, the play within the play is British.
Oh, okay.
So it's quite interesting to see the chaos, and actually a lot of the stuff that we made mistakes on in actual practice are now in the show.
Uh-huh.
It's one of those shows you can get away with that.
Excellent.
So was this your choice of play?
This was my choice and my assistant artistic director, Jonathan Spear. We chose this together.
What attracted you to this piece and made you think Austin audiences need to want to hear this? What are some things that you love about it?
I have been in a play within a play that goes wrong, and I just had so much fun with it. And I believe that people in Austin like to see things like that. Uh-huh. And also, truthfully, you can get away with if you get mistakes. You can get away with it.
That's right. It's a play within a play, and all is good. So let's take a quick tangent here, and let's see what 26 is, which is the number that Bree chose. Here we go.
Let me put my gun down. This is Dee Snavely, and I'm letting you know you're listening to Offstage and On the Air at KOOP Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM, and it beats that out of Andy Williams.
Jason Williams, that's excellent.
Good choice.
So, Vic, good choice. We have not heard him for a while. Spoiler alert for the future, we just recorded Newsies today, so that's going to be a fun one.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. You're going to enjoy that. So when I went to the website, there's just like plenty of YouTubes about this play.
Yes.
And when you look at it, it calls back to me a little bit of Noises Off.
Yes.
Very much so.
It's actually
okay, well, thank
told...
you for being on the show.
It's actually been told that it was written after Noises Off. The writer saw Noises Off and was like, ooh, I could do better.
I could do better than that. Mm-hmm. That's quite a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And did he do better?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay. Of course. So tell me about your roles go through and tell me your role that's in the play and in the play within the play.
Well, it'll be easy for me because I don't have a double role. I'm just Luis, the sound tech, who gets to just do the
I have
sound.
A double role, but I've been working out a lot. So
yeah, I'm
hoping,
those, you know?
Hoping that goes away.
I have a Tootsie role, if that works.
Bree, tell us about your two characters.
All right, so Marla, also known as Smitty, she is about 17, and she has no time at all for this play. She wants to be in it, but she has a biology test that she has to study for because her mother is very, very overprotective, and she's not allowed to get anything underneath like an 80 on this test, and she's freaking out about it the entire time because Phyllis keeps coming in and changing everything. So she's like, oh God, I have to go home. I don't even know my lines yet. Like, what is this? And then Doris, I accidentally said Dolores earlier, she is...
Interchangeable.
Yes, very interchangeable. She is a kind of timid little housemaid person. You know how, like, they
so
used to
the
have...
polar opposite of the housemaid in Noises Off.
Exactly.
Yes. Because you know how back then they had little kids that they'd... you know, raise, and they'd be like chambermaids, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's basically what Doris is.
Oh, okay.
So she very much depends on the family, but at the same time, she's like, I have my duties.
Excellent. And Leslie, you're playing the director of the play.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, until she has time for.
Yeah.
It's a big job.
Okay. You know. Yeah. So do you play in the house a lot?
Yes. And that's actually something that I've never, I mean, I'm a theater actress, so mm-hmm. you stay on stage. You
yeah.
do a play out in the house.
Was that a little weird the first time?
Because suddenly, for you as a director, and this is what I had to do, for years when I was a performer, right was on my right and left was on my left, and when you switch, right is on your left and left is on your right. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
And, you know, you're used to having set blocking. Well, mm-hmm. the director's allowed to just move freely wherever she wants.
That's
There's
right.
not really any necessary blocking. Oh my gosh, it's like a panic attack every time. I'm like, okay, where am I going to move next? There.
But
okay.
Do you like playing that? So I'm guessing you play, so I mean, the directors can be bossy,
yes.
can make choices
very.
That other people don't agree with, and you can say, you know what, I'm the director, do what I say.
It very yeah. much suits me.
She does a great job of instilling fear into her actors.
And I will have to say, our venue is so intimate that this works, a premium blend.
Excellent.
And
we're going
like,
to talk about the venue in
yeah,
just a little
okay,
second.
I didn't know. I was just
oh, yeah, yeah, we need to talk about that, because that's something that our folks may not be familiar with.
Yeah.
And finally, Chelsea, tell us about your two characters.
I play Violet, who plays Diana Lassiter. Violet is a young, up-and-coming actress. She probably wants to do main character show roles.
She probably wants to act next to across from Kevin Kline someday.
Yeah. Probably, yes. Yes. And then her character is the ingenue. And Violet is a bit of a romantic, so she falls in love in the show and falls in love in real life as well. And it's kind of fun watching her go through that.
Yeah, we like that. So y'all are prepared to do a little piece.
We are.
Yes.
So does somebody want to set that up for us?
It is. This scene is going to be mostly the play within the play, but it's going to show why it gets stopped over and over again.
Okay.
So, and I'm just going to be substituting for some of the parts that are not here.
Great. I'll tell you what, once we get started, I'm going to slide my microphone over to you. So this is Christy Treitler, Bree Harner, Chelsea Wallace, and Leslie Morris doing a scene from Stage Presence Players, production of Play On.
Where is Sir Percival?
Well, frankly, I'm glad he's not here.
Why, Diana, what's a thing to say?
I mean it. Sir Percival is no gentleman.
Here now, what are you saying?
When he looks at me, I feel as though his pants were moving all over my body.
What? What's the matter?
It's hands, Violet. His hands.
Isn't that what I said?
You said pants.
Oh.
Look, everyone, fun is fun, but we would like Smitty to get home sometime before dawn.
Thank you.
Right, I'm sorry. I feel as though his hands were moving all over my body.
But he's a knight of the...
Oh, my. That's it. Laugh it up. We'll see just how funny you think this is tomorrow night.
Knights of the realm.
He is a disgusting toad, and such toads can be lecherous at night.
Begging your pardon, my lord, but should we...
Take it easy. Take it easy. You'll be just fine.
But should we delay dinner any longer?
No, I think not. Can't wait for Percival forever, shall we, my dear?
I suppose so, but don't you think someone should call Percival's flat and ascertain the reason for his absence?
And scene.
Well done.
Very well done. As a matter of fact, oddly enough, that is the scene I watched on YouTube. Yes. I watched two different productions doing that on YouTube, and both of them. That was the scene.
That's the scene.
Yeah,
I read your mind.
You did read my mind. That's so much fun. So for our radio listening audience, which it's hard to tell, the voice that came in, which was Leslie's, did not have an English accent, was outside the play, within the play. She was the director. Yeah, it's not. It probably is less clear to people that are just listening.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
A little difficult to discern that. Yeah.
So let's. We're sort of running out of time, but I want to hear about the venue that you're in, because you're up in Georgetown.
Yes, it's called the Premium Blend Performing Arts Studio. Jim Fain is the owner. They do dance, theater. We're the only theater group there.
Great.
Now.
Great. Where are they located?
They are located on the square in Georgetown,
actually. Oh, lovely.
On Austin Avenue, across from the courthouse.
So. Okay. Yeah, that's a lovely little square. Nick, have you been to Georgetown yet?
I have not been to Georgetown.
It's a lovely little town.
But I think it's time to go and see
this. Definitely.
And see this. Definitely. So where can folks go to get more information about this?
They can go to Facebook and search for Stage Presence Players, and it'll have all the info you need there.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for coming to see us. I hope you'll stick around and trudge backstage with us amongst the dumpsters.
Oh, yes.
We would love that. So that was Christy Treitler, Bree Harner. I keep wanting to say Hammer because I do.
I mean, Hammer you could. Time. Why not?
Hammer Time. Bree, Hammer Time Harner, Chelsea Wallace, and Leslie Morris, a Stage Presence Players production of Play On. We didn't talk about this, but it's October 7th through 16th. Yes. At the Premium Blend Performing Arts Studio in Georgetown. For more information, search for Stage Presence Players on Facebook. And this was actually a hard piece of music to decide what to do, so I chose to just be funny.
So though it's just an old...
I'm going to see it in the funny papers.
Lisa.
Yes, you do not want Lisa to sing.
Oh, stop that.
You don't. Let's talk a little locally stuff. I picked up Murder on the Rails, which is our friends at Penfold, and I think I'm going to try to do this. It's a murder mystery on the Austin Steam Train. And
can I just tell you, I love that.
I do too. I'm going to try to go.
You know, my dream is to ride the Orient Express. I have been planning. I have
remind
books.
Me to tell you a story about the Orient Express. Perhaps on backstage, I'll tell you about it.
Okay. I want to do that in my 70s and 80s.
It happens on October 8th. And for more information, you can visit penfoldtheater.org. And I'm of mixed emotions about, because we're hard-hitting journalism here, I'm of mixed emotions about these murder mysteries.
Why?
Well, because you're making a game out of a murder. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's like it would never work if you could do a rape mystery. Like yep. So I agree. There are areas. So when I heard the analogy towards rape and murder, I'm going, yeah, I kind of get it.
But do you
don't
like,
make a game out of murder?
But do you like Clue? Did you play Clue?
I did when I was a kid, but I don't think that counts.
It's the same thing. You're the murderer, and you're naming weapons at the same time.
But I have come to this opinion in a new enlightenment of my life. So what have you guys for locally stuff?
So I mentioned this a little bit last week, but they start performances tonight at the Mary Moody Northern Theater at
St. Edward's.
Of the Resistible Rise of Arturo Uy.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, I saw it or I was in it years ago, and I don't remember anything about it. I couldn't tell you one thing about it other than the Arturo Rise of Arturo Uy. I think I saw it on Broadway. Was it on Broadway in the 80s?
I don't know.
I don't know. But my memories are not pleasant, but that means nothing.
It's a timely piece, and the people up at St. Edward's are awesome. And
St. Ed's does great work.
Amazing.
If they could get some decent directors for their musicals, they'd be
okay.
Oh, dig!
Ouch, Lisa!
I believe the man next to me just directed one of the last movies.
Yeah, Nick Mayo just directed She Loves Me. So
they also have Peter Sopnisky, who I worked with during She Loves Me, has composed, and he's a wonderful composer who works for the Rude Mets.
I heard you said it last week. You said really good things
great
about him.
New music. So they begin performances tonight.
In the microphone, Mr. Mayo.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. You have anything, Nick, before we go on to...
Well, yeah. I was laughing at The Backpack Presents. you're laughing because you know about this.
Quickly.
They're doing their another installment of their quarterly series, The Backpack Presents. It's non-speaking sketch clowns. It's basically like live action cartoons. It's running now through October 2nd this weekend.
And the Backpack is a lovely little space on Cesar Chavez.
Yes, it's at the Backpack Co-op.
Yeah.
2400 East Cesar Chavez.
And I will just reach out to the Backpack. They were one of the people that stepped up and helped Ground Floor Theater when we were shut down.
Yes, ma'am.
So today in theater history, I'm just going to do a couple of these because we're running late on time. 1961, the new comedy by Ozzie Davis called Pearly Victorious opened at the Court Theater.
Wow.
Davis was in it.
What year was this? 61?
1961. And it was the basis for the film Gone Are the Days, which is 1963, and 1970, a little musical called Pearly.
Oh.
Do you remember who was in that?
No.
Ozzie Davis, Ruby Dee, Godfrey Chambers, and Alan Alda.
Alan Alda.
That's actually the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry. The musical, I don't know. It was directed by Howard Da Silva. Let's see.
I love Alan Alda, by the way. I have a secret love for that man.
I'm 1982, Al Pacino and Ellen Burstyn become co-artistic directors of the Actors Studio.
Interesting.
And Burstyn was also the president of Actors Equity at the time. She's the first woman to be elected to that post. It's sort of sad.
It
took
the
70s.
That was 82. That's kind of... Come on now, people.
Yep. And then 2014, this is the revival of You Can't Take It With You at the Long Acre.
Oh, was this the James Earl Jones,
This
right?
is the James Earl Jones, Elizabeth Ashley, who I saw in... Oh, God, what did I see her in?
I don't know, but you're jazz hands.
Agnes of God.
Because I think jazz hands and Agnes of God. I put those
it's
two together
stigmata.
All the time.
It was the stigmata.
Hysterical. Jazz hands.
That made my day.
Julie Halston, Kristen Nichols, Marklin Bader, Baker, and Anna Lee Ashford. And she won a Tony for it. And you can, those of you that want to see how good she is, just watch Masters of Sex.
Oh, she's so good.
On Showtime.
That.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another little break and we're going to come back and listen to our interview with Newsies.
Extra, extra.
Extra, extra. What am I playing? Oh, and this is from Pearly. And this is a
I
little.
Love this music.
Yeah, well, we'll just listen to it and we'll let everybody make their own judgment.
The bigger they are, the harder they fall.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin. We've been talking to the cast and creative people from Stage Presence Players, production of Play On. We have Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo, or as I like to call them, the Nick Squareds. It's going to be the new thing. So here's the deal. We're going to, Nicole and I interviewed the cast from the Newsies. From Newsies earlier today, and we're going to play this, but we're not going to have enough time to play the whole thing on the air. So This is a really good
this
reason.
This was a really good interview.
And it was a good interview. So if you subscribe to the podcast, you can get the full interview at offstageonair.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, you name it. You can just do it.
We're out there.
Yeah. So we're just going to run in so we can get most of it in right now. But do know that we will be fading out early. I apologize. I'm not a very good time management person.
That's all right.
That's the from Pajama Game. I'm a time... Yep. What is it? A time? Something?
I don't know, but yeah. 7.5 cents.
Doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
I want them to get their raise, man. I love the pajama game.
You know, but give it to them every hour, 40 hours every week. That's enough to get them living like a king. All right.
I love that you just gave me the lyrics.
Yeah. We're going to go from the pajama game to Newsies. Here we go. Nicole, how excited are you right now?
I'm extremely excited.
I'm more excited.
I'm jeteing across the studio.
I'm double pirouetting across the studio.
And I have my paper in hand.
Well, we're so excited because we are here in the studio. We recorded earlier today to be
disclaimer.
Completely transparent, but live in the studio, we have four, not three.
Not two, not one.
Four cast members from the Broadway Across America tour of Newsies, which I am so excited about. You know I'm excited to see this.
I was about to say, you've had jazz hands and been very excited about this show, which is not always the case with Lisa.
I am S.E. about this.
So excited.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
why don't we introduce them? Josh Burridge.
Hello.
Welcome. Andrew Wilson.
Hello.
Ian Young.
Hello.
And Nico De Jesus.
Hello.
I did that out of order because I did it in the order that's on my paper and not in the order in which you're sitting. But this is radio. They can't see you.
Who knows?
They don't know.
They think you're all in a row, and we plan that out.
So you guys are in the ensemble for this show for the most part, right?
Yeah, we play the Newsies.
You play the Newsies, and it's an ensemble show.
I was like, pretty much really is an ensemble show.
Somebody, you know, I'm going to guess that a lot of people that are listening have seen the movie, mm-hmm. right? I'm guessing a lot of people have not seen the musical until the end of this week when they will have all seen it.
Everyone
but somebody tell, what's this crazy show about?
Well, to start off, it's about the newsboy strike of 1899. It's about Joseph
Real life,
Pulitzer.
Right?
Yeah. He owned the World newspaper, and he decided he needed to make more money, so he raised the price that the boys bought the paper at. He raised it from 50 cents for 100 papers to 60 cents per 100, and they couldn't afford it anymore.
Right, because they had to buy the papers and then sell them. That's
exactly.
how it worked back then.
So they went on a strike, and they formed a union, and they joined together, and they went on strike against Joseph Pulitzer.
It's
pretty awesome when you think about that.
It really
1899
is. How accurate does the musical follow real life?
It's fairly accurate. Bob and Noni Zudiker, who originally wrote
Say that three times.
Yes. It's actually Bob Zudiker and Noni White, but they're married. Anyway, I believe it was 1987, was reading a New York Times book review of a book called Children of the City. And there was a clipping about this newsboy strike of 1899. He was a screenwriter. He clipped it, put it away in files. A few years later, was looking through to see what to write about. They did all this research. A lot of the names in our show, actually the bulk of the names in our show are real people. Fictionalized a little bit storyline-wise. But it's about our leader, Jack Kelly. That is a fictional name. The real man was a guy named Kid Blink.
Kid Blink.
Who was actually from Brooklyn.
Boy, now why didn't they use that?
So what had happened was in 1899, the Spanish-American War had just ended. And during
those times... I remember that.
I'm sure our viewers want a little history lesson.
Yeah,
viewers,
we do.
Listeners. The circulation was up to 500,000 papers a day. When the war ended, it went to 300,000 papers a day. So that's the reason why Joseph Pulitzer hiked up the price of the papers. Instead of getting more exciting headlines, he just... hiked up the wholesale price. Right.
And what's interesting about business in those days, this was the robber baron days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So all these people, you know, you hear Pulitzer nowadays and you think, oh, what a wonderful, beautiful man. But he really wasn't all that great. Was
right.
<he?
laughs>
Yeah. I mean, our Steve Blanchard, who plays Joseph Pulitzer in our show, read his biography. And I think he had some good traits. But in 1899 against these boys, I don't know.
Well, that's the whole thing is no one really thought of these boys as anything.
No.
So it didn't – for him, it was all about – he sings a song in the show called The Bottom Line, and it was for him all about the bottom line. He had no regard for these, like, little boys.
Sure, you were
papers.
The 1% back then.
Right? Oh, yeah.
And isn't it funny how 117 years later, It's still very timely.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very David and Goliath. These kids were homeless. Some of them were orphans. Some of them were taking care of their entire families because for some reason their parents couldn't work. There was no labor unions. And so imagine these kids banding, kids between the ages of 7 and 17 banding together and taking down one of the most powerful men in New York City at the time with no use of social media.
yeah, right? <nothing. laughs>
What? Yeah, no, now, now you're pulling my leg.
I know, can you believe it?
It is really incredible, and the atmosphere back then was similar to today in that we are villainizing immigrants and Muslims, mm-hmm. but back then it was the Irish, it was the Chinese, villainizing. It's very, very similar, lots of parallels. But this is it's a fun show.
Oh yeah,
it is a very
it's
fun.
Extremely fun show.
We don't really get into that in the show.
You have a lot of so great music and dancing.
It is about dancing, isn't it?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you guys in the ensemble, we talk a lot about the ensemble. We talk about swings, and I'm really happy that we have the dance captain here
The verbose one over here.
Just put it out there. And go
Andrew
there.
Wilson. Yeah, I'm just going to throw it out there. But Andrew, you're the dance captain. We've spent a lot of time. We try to educate our audience on, you know, a lot of people don't know what a swing is, and you're also a swing. We've talked about understudies, but you know what? We've never talked dance captain before.
No.
So why don't you tell folks what it is you do? What is it that you do as dance captain?
Well, so our show, like I was just saying before, almost every single scene has some element of dance in it.
Yep.
It's choreographed by our Tony Award-winning choreographer, Christopher Gattelli.
Because I wasn't available.
Exactly.
Just want you to know, I turned it down.
But, by the way, the picture of him with his Tony win for this show is probably one of the his grin, and most people are grinning when they win a Tony.
It's amazing.
But his picture has always been one of my favorites.
And he really is through and through one of the nicest men ever.
Yes, he is. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Just the kindest. Anyway, every single one of the great things about our show, too, is that every transition is a dance, too.
Right.
It clips right along. The choreography is also very masculine. It's one of the few musicals that I think you can really take a young boy to that might not think of theater as a cool thing, taking an adult guy to it. Like, it really kind of transcends the stereotypical.
It's very sort of West Side Story-y in terms of that.
Exactly. Thing. But mm-hmm. I learned the show with actually we have two original tour newsies and one Broadway newsie with us.
Get out of town.
Yes.
Who's the Broadway newsie?
Ian,
oh, good.
Over there.
And tell me, is it Ian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got it right.
Yes,
it Ian Young, Broadway
you
newsie.
He plays
good
Finch
today.
On tour, but he was Henry on Broadway. And Josh plays JoJo and Darcy, and Nico plays Romeo. A dance captain. So I am in charge of maintaining the choreography. So I will watch the show. I will give notes, meaning I will watch, and if something isn't quite right, I mean, they're the best boys in the business, so it's not like I'm like, you're completely doing this wrong.
You're acting but, as the stage manager, the production stage manager acts from the dance
side. Imagine you take a dance class, and you get to watch yourself and self-correct. There's no mirror in theater.
No, there isn't.
You know, they rely on me and I rely on them to, you know, do this amazing choreography. But
I teach class every day?
Do I teach class now?
Y'all don't do a class before?
Yeah, Nico's like,
everyone's
no.
responsible for their own. If they want to go and find dance classes or whatever.
No, I guess, you know, I just went, my head went to the ballet world. I toured with Joffrey Ballet's company for a while. And and before every show, there'd
There's
be class. There'd be bars.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, we have our own. The boys kind of do their own specific warm-up. The show is so stylized. Some people are more tumbling-friendly. Some people are more, like, balletic. Some are more tap. So, like, everyone kind of does their own warm-up specific to what they do. But I also, if a new cast member comes, I'm in charge of teaching them the choreography and all the blocking. With our show, we have this amazing set by a guy named Tobin Ost, who designed this thrilling set where it's these three huge metal towers that weigh 2.5 tons each, and they can
you weigh them?
He did. I personally did.
Just, you know, we have fact checkers on the show.
I did it. Yeah. I know.
He was late to that rehearsal that one day. You're like, that darn dance captain called a rehearsal and he's outside with a...
Sorry, you got two heavy towers.
Bag of skills.
So anyway, it's not only the dancing on the stage, it's the choreography in the towers, it's choreography backstage. So I'm responsible for also teaching that stuff. I talked a lot.
Do you have to rework the choreography for the different spaces at all?
No. So the thing about touring is you generally travel with your own what we call deck. So we actually never dance on the physical stage. Yeah. We're not performing on the bass.
For those that don't know, the deck is the floor.
Is the floor, yeah. So we don't dance on the stage. Our stage is about 6.5 inches off the ground. I measured that one. And in there's all the wiring to move those towers up and down. There's microphones underneath all the placement for all the tap dancing. So we're dancing on this on our own surface. So our surface never changes.
It's an interesting fact. So back in the day when I used to tour, we did not bring our own deck. But yes. I don't think there's a touring company that exists now, maybe straight plays, that don't bring their own deck because there's automation, there's winches.
A lot of the non-union tours will tend to travel with a Marley.
True.
Just because they're usually playing 5 or 6 cities a week.
Right, right.
But News Easy, it takes 18 hours to load in the entire show.
Wow. Do you know how many trucks?
Nine trucks, 18 hours.
It's amazing.
It's almost as big as Kinky Boots is what, 10 or 12? It's almost as big. That's big.
Big.
Well, we are looking forward to seeing it. Can y'all regale us with any like wacky, funny stories from the tour? How long has this tour been going on?
2 years.
2 years now.
So it's already been going on for 2 years.
Yeah.
And is this the end of it?
We're at the end. Austin, we're the last stop.
We are.
So
what are you guys going to do after this?
Extra, extra. This is the last time you can see it.
I did not know. Yeah. I should read the press release. What are y'all going to do after that? Do you have everything lined up?
We're going to sleep for 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Back to New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of that place. I really have.
Yeah.
Has everybody been to Austin before?
No. Never been.
No. Are you going to get some time to see the city?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
What are you looking forward to about Austin?
Barbecue.
I heard the music was.
Yeah, I love
Music is good.
Mm.
Yes. Yeah, lots of great live music.
Yes.
Barbecue is good. You know, we got Franklin's, we got other places, but you don't have to stand in line for good barbecue.
No.
I refuse to stand in line for barbecue. And I will admit, Franklin's is good. But I didn't stand in line for it.
But Micklewaits, who is a great sponsor of this radio station, is excellent as well. Uh-huh. And the line is not nearly the same.
Barbecue
and music, you guys have it down. So, yeah. Well, good. Well, I am so happy y'all came to see us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
They don't want
to
leave.
You guys. Are you both Austin natives?
No. We never get to talk about it.
Where are you from? Let's turn the tables.
My Lord.
He's a pro at this.
I grew up in Houston, but I moved to New York at 18, lived there for 20 years, Chicago for 10 years, and then here.
So were you a Tuts boy growing up?
I was not a Tuts girl growing up. I was a Studio 7. Are you familiar with them?
Studio 7, no.
No, you wouldn't be. You're too young.
I was like too young.
Studio
probably.
7. So Tuts at the time was...
This is before Tuts.
Tuts existed, but it was there was actually between schools, and I was like really young. There was Studio 7 and there was Tuts, and we were sort of competitive.
Right.
Studio 7 was run by a woman named Chris Wilson. Patrick Swayze was in my class.
Lisa took dance classes from Patsy Swayze.
Patrick's
mom.
And Charlie Robinson, if you know him, was in my class. Yeah. Really, really. Tracy Shane. Was in my class. All these people taught by Chris Wilson, who was an amazing teacher. She passed away about 10 years ago. She was amazing. Really great way to teach kids. Tuts had a different strategy, and they moved on. I mean, Tuts is a force to be reckoned with these days.
Yeah.
And Carol McCann, who was with us in Studio 7, moved on to Tuts and was really, really instrumental there. But I started the Alley.
Cool.
Back when it was an arena stage.
Nicole?
I remember the arena.
Yeah, Nicole, then we have to stop.
Born in, I'm from New York and Jersey, my whole family, and I was born up east, but then I moved to Houston and Dallas as a kid for a bit. Moved back to New York and graduated. Went to school in Chicago, was back in the city for years, and ended up in Austin.
You always think of like the best in the business going to like New York or LA, and it's so great. Austin is one of those enclaves where artists just come to and thrive. So it's cool that a city like this has amazing people to pull from research.
Well, Andrew, thank you for having us on your show. really like the
Andrew Wilson.
Thank you for coming. Well, listen, I'm looking forward to seeing the show. I'm going to see it tonight.
Yay.
So I'll be your harshest critic, and but I am expecting to absolutely love it.
Yay. Oh.
Thank you guys so much.
October 2nd, Sunday, the last.
October 2nd, my birthday.
And right before his, October 4th. 21.
Rock on,
my dad's birthday.
I love your dad.
Bon anniversaire. Okay. To all of you.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank
Give
you.
Give us a newsies. Awesome. Goodbye.
Nice. See you later.
Goodbye.
Those always fly. Okay. Is it really?
That was Josh Burridge, Andrew Wilson, Ian Young, and Nico De Jesus of Broadway Across America's production of Newsies, playing now through October 2nd at Bass Concert Hall. For more information, you may visit austin.broadway.com.
I have to say, this is the final stop. The tour of the show is closing. So
that's right.
This is it.
Yeah, so if you did want to see Newsies, this would be the time to do it. And it's going to be fun. I'm going to see it tonight. I'm going to report back.
Nick wonderful. Went last night.
I went last night.
Nick, what'd you think?
I thought there was some
in the microphone.
Wonderful dancing, great energy. I thought they did a great job, and it's an enjoyable show.
I love the story.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for another fun week. I love the three of us together.
Thank
you.
Hello.
Hello.
I like when you jazzed hands for Agnes of God.
I jazz hand / stigmata.
Phenomenal.
They get confused often.
It's a new move.
Okay, those of you listening to the, I'm gonna show a little bit of sausage. Would you mind queuing up the next piece? Because I can't. On CD2. Those of you listening to the on the air right now, stand by for Austin Modern News. Those of you listening to the podcast, please stand by for Backstage at Offstage. Remember, Nick Squared and Lisa will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And again, this song is a random pick, but I kind
of
like it. That's all I'm going to say about that.
One of my favorites.
Here, it's from Secret Garden.
When a thing is wick, it has a life about it. Now maybe not a life like you and me, but somewhere there's a single streak of
green. Well, the curtain's just come down on Earworm the Musical, the story of a hapless young woman that's got the soundtrack of Secret Garden stuck in her head and cannot get it out, and the crazy, wacky lengths she goes to remove it. Dun da da dun. So we have found our way outside the stage door, down the stairs. We're in front of the dumpsters, and
we lost Nick in one of the potholes.
We lost Nick. He couldn't figure out how to open the crash bar on the door, and he's still backstage.
I hear banging. He'll be out sometime
under the deck. We have here Christy Treitler. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Bree Harner, welcome back.
Thank you.
Leslie Morris, welcome back.
Hi.
And Chelsea Wallace.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back. I've got them trained so well with the microphones. Did you notice that?
I just noticed that. I was going to say, you were very excited in Studio 2 today.
Oh, no. I know. Chelsea Wallace, what's your story? Where do you come from?
I was born in Fort Worth.
Texas or the other one?
This one.
Okay.
Fort Worth, Texas. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
I traveled around a lot when I was little.
Like where?
California and Texas, mostly.
Okay.
And then stayed in Texas, graduated from Itasca High School.
Itasca, in the Finger Lakes region of New York?
No, in Texas, an hour south of Fort Worth, okay. 49 people.
Really?
Wow, that's small.
49 people in your class or in your school?
In my class.
Wow. And where did you fall in the rankings?
I was fifth.
Oh, okay. So wow.
Nice.
I was not very near high school. Was there a theater department in this high school?
I helped create the theater department.
Ah, do tell. Well, Let's talk about that.
In junior high, I asked if they had a theater class and asked if we could make one since there wasn't one. And yep. They said if I could get enough people to sign on, it could happen. So I went around my little junior high and got people to sign a petition to have a theater class, and an old football coach taught it.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. I just love everything about that.
What was that coach's name?
His name was Coach Wolf.
Coach Wolf.
You know why? Because Coach Wolf is like me. He knows that football and theater actually do go hand in hand.
Was he a good teacher?
He was a very hard teacher.
Oh, what made him hard?
A story I remember my senior year. Me saying, I can't wait till I graduate. And he looked at me and said, me neither.
Oh, my God. I don't know if that's a good thing, though.
He gave me a hard time because I was in his class for 3 years. My last year there, he made me teach the class, and my grade was dependent on how the other students did.
That sort of rocks, though.
It did. It really did. And when I left, I heard from other students that he talked about me a lot, like in admiration, but didn't give that. He was just
He's
hard.
The old school gruffy that doesn't wear his
He was a football coach
out.
Doing theater.
He was a football coach.
Yeah.
And what? So when you taught the class, did you produce a show that year?
No, we did scenes.
You did
it
scenes.
It was nothing so amazing. But
that's pretty amazing, though.
I was like, it's pretty amazing that to start something and be there.
And now in your current career or life in theater, do you direct? Because
No. I'm doing assistant directing at Concordia University right now.
Well, that's
my first show.
Cool. Yeah. So are you at Concordia? Are you a student at Concordia?
I am. I'm my senior year as a BSN student. I graduate December 3rd with my nursing degree.
Okay, thank you, because I was going to ask what that was, BSN. It's like, to me, that's Boy Scouts of North America.
I was like, Boy Scouts of what?
North America. Well, awesome. That is great. We love Concordia. Were you at Concordia when it was close to here and then moved it away wherever the heck it is now?
I wasn't there when that started, but I do go to both classes. We have nursing courses here at Lamar.
So you do get to move around.
We do, yeah.
We need nurses. Nurses are the backbone of everything. So I'll tell you what. Off to you, and thank you.
As someone who has spent a little time in the hospital, not all that too long ago, it's like the nurses were
the nurses
ones.
Are the they are everything.
We got you.
Yeah,
they're like the swings. They don't get enough credit.
Absolutely, they're yep.
They really are.
So you were the swings of the hospital.
You were the swings of the hospital, and let me tell you.
Is that where, do you want to work in a hospital?
I'm psych. I'm an LVN right now, and so I work at ATCIC, and psych is like my thing, particularly forensics and class 2 personality.
Cool. I can tell you all about that because I watch a lot of crime dramas.
Ooh, good.
I'm just saying. Christy Treitler, you've been on the show before, but I don't know if you've been back here before. Have you
been
backstage?
I've been back here once.
Like so I said, once? You've been back here
were you
once.
Over, you were sitting over here last time, right?
I think so.
How would you remember so. Something
because
like that?
Because I have
crazy.
Random ADD brain, and I remember useless
actually,
information.
I do remember that you were here now. That yeah. And I do
And I pointed over there, and it brings it all back.
I actually didn't remember where you were, but I do remember that you were here.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about how you've done with Stage Presence Players, because when you were here before, I think it was when you first started.
It kind of was. We started back in 2015.
That was the last time you were here,
February.
I believe.
February. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was December we were here.
Okay. February, December. Is there really a difference?
Right. There is when you're doing your own company. Oh,
that's true.
So we've been doing pretty well. This is our second show of the season. We kind of backed off a little bit mm-hmm. this year. Our last show, we sold out pretty much every show.
Awesome. And you were at Trinity last time, right?
No, we
that was
now
two shows
have,
ago.
That was two shows ago. Okay. We've been at Premium Blend for the last.
Oh, okay.
We basically have a permanent home there now.
So. Oh, lovely, lovely. And how many does the Premium Blend seat?
Probably
we
about
didn't talk about that.
47. Okay.
That's nice awesome. And intimate. I like
we
that.
We got to borrow experience. Some lovely platforms from ground floor.
Oh, that's
so
true.
So we're going to hopefully put more people in this
lovely.
Time.
That well, that nice. Would be great. I hope that
yes.
works out.
Yes.
And what? So what have been some of the challenges of starting this company for you?
One, keeping it going.
Mm-hmm.
And then the biggest challenge has been, honestly, unreliable actors, to be honest. They'll be all excited.
Anybody in this room?
Actually, no.
But she was going to let you
I'm
know
being
either
quite
way.
Honest, this show has been one of the most drama-free shows, if that
Because
makes
you're getting it out all on stage.
Exactly.
And what are some of the joys of running your own theater company?
The people you meet, the good people, the mm-hmm. ones that stay. Mm-hmm. Getting to do what you love all the time. And I recently gave Jonathan Spear, assistant artistic director now. He's amazing to work with.
Awesome.
So that's the best part.
And it's a family affair because you produced a show at Ground Floor and mm-hmm. your husband and your son, they were all there.
Yeah, my husband, he's a little bit of an introvert. He came and watched and he helped mm-hmm. clean up. But my son is a godsend. Unfortunately, he's a senior and going to be graduating.
You know what? You could sabotage his grades.
You do not
on
live.
Instagram.
Wait a minute. Just wait. He's senior and graduating.
He's
right. You do not look like you should have
We've
a child who is a senior and graduating.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. He is, and he's planning to go in the Air Force. So.
And hats off to him for that.
Yep.
Yep.
Glad he has a plan.
He's going to have a plan and a plane.
Yeah, I was
exactly.
going to say, and a plane.
Exactly.
Beep to the zinger.
Yeah. Zing.
I like when you zing, Lisa. Do it again.
Zing. No, that's it. Please, you only get them in specific
points.
Come on,
one more zing.
Only when I feel zingy. And I have a feeling when I talk to Leslie Morris, it'll be a zing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I like that.
She plays the director in the show.
Yes.
Are you a director in real life?
No.
No.
I don't think that anyone would want to give me that much power.
Oh, I doubt that.
She said that with conviction.
Where are you a Texan?
Well, I like to say that I claim Texas.
Okay.
I'm a military brat. I've been all over.
You've been all over.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the most interesting place you lived?
Well, I lived in Japan for a little while.
Oh, ayo gozaimashita. Konnichiwa, dokono desu?
Konnichiwa, dokono desu?
I was in kindergarten, so this is all just gibberish to me.
It was gibberish to us.
No, I was saying, is that a table? Yes, that's a table.
And I was saying, where is the bathroom and I want some beer?
We actually were saying real things. They just didn't make any sense in conversation.
Sorry. So that's actually pretty cool.
That's way cool.
Yeah, and I love Texas. Texas is, I claim Texas over every other state, country I've lived in. Texas is the best country I've ever lived in.
So where were you born? Were you born overseas? Or were you born
I was
here?
Born in Meridian, Mississippi.
Meridian, Mississippi.
My brother
has a ring
there.
To it, actually.
Am I crooked letter I, crooked letter, crooked letter I, humpback I, I know it all.
Zing!
So,
I got one.
What made you find your way into theater?
Actually, when I first moved to Texas, you know, it was the start of middle school and I had no friends.
Oh, I do not believe that for a second.
Oh, really? Well, you know, I went through a goth phase, believe it or not. So I was the girl with the chains on her pants.
Cool.
So no one wanted to be my friend.
I could see you playing that. I think that would work well with you.
And theater was just a place where all of the quirky kids came together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like from seventh grade until we graduated from high school, we were doing shows together. We grew up together. And it was just beautiful. And I love theater mostly because of my experience as a child.
And are you in or out of school? All of you look very young to me.
I know.
Because I'm very old.
Because when I hear that they all have kids graduating, I'm going to be like, okay, wait, stop.
Are you, I'm assuming you're out of school?
Yes, okay. I just graduated in December.
Mazel tov.
Bachelor's
in what?
Bachelor's in communications.
Lovely.
Nice.
And from where?
Texas A&M in Corpus Christi.
In Corpus, really? Yes. And so you're a new Austin transplant then?
Yes, I actually, after graduation, my family lives in San Diego, so I went back to San Diego, California. You didn't know that.
Didn't know that.
So what other cities in Texas have you lived in?
I've lived in Fort Worth, Georgetown, and Corpus Christi.
And you're in Georgetown now?
Yes.
Okay. Cute little town.
It really is. Oh, my great gosh, little town.
I love it.
Lisa and I think we were late to the theater last time because you and I got lost walking around the town. Like we were lost in the beautifulness
beautiful.
Of the town. Like
it's
mentally
so
beautiful
lost.
Town.
Yeah.
And I've spoken to several classes up at the school, which I can never remember the name of. Southwestern Texas.
Southwestern.
Yeah. Southwestern. Whatever. I don't know what it is. Brie, other than being a cheese, do you get that a lot?
I do, and I don't like cheese. So.
What? That's crazy.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Because let me tell you, you're really good with some nice fruit on top.
Well, thank you.
And let's just say that your full name is Brianna, which is also
Brianna.
Lovely. Brianna.
Yes.
Ooh. Not Brianna.
Not Brianna.
No, that's pretentious of me to even think
it's
that.
It's okay.
It's potato, really all right. Potato.
So where did you come from and how did you find theater?
All right. Well, let's make this turn a depressing route real quick.
Oh, okay.
So I was born in California, mm-hmm. and then I moved to Colorado, and then I moved to Arizona, and then I moved to Fort Worth, and then I moved to Round Rock, and then I moved to Jarrell, and then I moved back to Round Rock, and then I moved to Georgetown.
Wow.
So I will be 17 in about a week and a half.
Uh-huh.
One thing was that when I started school, the only constant was theater. Both of my older sisters were in theater, and I got my first little break, you know, playing one of the schoolboys in The Music Man Junior at my sister's middle school, which mm-hmm. coincidentally, I ended up going to that middle school. Well, I went on from there, and I was in theater from sixth grade on, and I participated as much as possible, went into musical theater, then got into advanced theater, and then started continuing throughout high school and stuff like that.
And are you in high school now?
I am, kind of. I only have two more classes and then I can graduate. It's a self-paced school, so I only have Latin left.
Well, I was supposed to say only Latin. You only Latin. Because I would have failed that one on that one.
Sidebar here, because we didn't get to talk about this. Last week, y'all had Faustus on, and they talked about that Faustus would talk to Mephistopheles in Latin to bring him on. And I was all ready to come out with Vini Vidi Mephistopheles.
And we didn't do it.
Yeah, Vini Vidi Mephistopheles. That's how he gets him to come.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway. All right.
We failed you.
You failed me.
I'm sorry.
I'm guessing you're in a school that's not necessarily a four-wall school.
It is.
Okay.
We have 150 students all together, 75 in the morning and 75 in the afternoon.
Awesome.
I'm part of the morning class. Got out at 11:45 today.
To come here.
Yeah, to come here.
Latin is not taught in most schools anymore.
No, it's not. It's actually a dead language because it's
a DL,
really,
we call it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so, on the DL.
Yeah, it's on the DL, but it's okay. My school is not really a teacher school. Mm-hmm. It's a online, but you're inside of the school.
Got it.
School.
Mm-hmm.
So I am basically teaching it to myself. Wow. I've been basically teaching myself the past year and a half of all school. And
So, in terms of organizational theater, how are you doing that in this environment?
In theater, well, I have been in theater until I moved back over to Georgetown, and then I was just like, I need to go to the palace or something like that and figure out things. But I actually ran into someone who knows the owner of the company that I now do theater at.
Lovely.
And Christy, I've known Christy for a while now. And
we met in Suffer with Jeff Davis.
Yeah. Okay. So I ended up getting back in contact with her through a friend that I just so happened to meet on the roads in Georgetown.
Lovely.
And we got back together, and I've been helping with that ever since.
And you've done musicals.
I have.
Are you a triple threat?
Yes.
You are.
I am.
Awesome.
I love ballet, jazz, all the good stuff. Soprano one.
Rock on. Triple threat's important.
She's my intern.
And I'm her intern.
What do you want to do after whatever phase you're in now is over? What do you want? What's the next?
I want
theater-wise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to continue with theater. I would love to continue with acting. I would really like to be on Broadway. That'd be really fun. Do a little musical.
Yeah, a little.
Just a little.
Yes, of course. It's just a little musical.
Of the musicals out there that you know of, what one would you like to do right now?
Come on, you know which one this is.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Oh, don't. Okay, let's just take
Hamilton
out of the mix.
What would
be the next favorite?
Because trust me, as great as Hamilton is, there's a whole world of really good musicals out there.
That's... Oh gosh!
And as far as Hamilton goes, I think it, as is current, you could really only play King George.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's every fine. Other character is a person as an actor of color.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. I think.
But King George would be great to play.
I was like, King George would be fun. I'd be okay with that.
King George.
I think you would as well.
I think that I would really like to do the Sound of Music. I've been compared to Julie Andrews. I know she's not the one that was in the...
She was
in the original movie, but she wasn't in the, like...
No, Mary Martin was in the original
movie. Oh,
Broadway.
Shoot. I'm sorry.
No, they both count.
They both count. They were both...
count. Julie Andrews did the movie.
Yeah.
Mary Martin did the original Broadway.
Yeah, so...
Right? Okay.
Yeah, so I've been compared to that a lot, just... You know, sweet as a button.
Oh, okay. Lovely. Well, thank you guys for joining us backstage.
Thank you.
And we're listening right now to the dulcet tones of Edelweiss, of all things.
That's my favorite song.
Who, by the way, I just heard on the radio, I heard the woman, and I don't know the actress, and she played Liesl. She's in her whatevers now, and she was singing Edelweiss. Maybe that's what we're listening to right now.
Oh, well, it could be a mashup.
Could be. Anyway, thanks for joining us backstage. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Adios. Edelweiss. Okay, we're jumping in here real quick. Just as soon as we went off the air, Nicole informed me. She said she heard that one of the Sound of Music kids just died, and indeed it was...
Liesl.
It was Liesl who died.
Charmaine Carr, 73.
Charmaine Carr.
September 18th.
Yep. May she rest in peace.
May she rest in peace.
This is for you.